It's the G-U-double-T. I am filling in tonight for Jay on PWP Radio. I will be joined a little later on by our good friend John JCD, also known as the Ass Man.
I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
But joining us also tonight is Sam S. Factor Schneider. Welcome back, Sam, to PWP Radio.
What up, what up? How are you guys doing?
We're good, Sam. I know you joined us last minute here tonight. You didn't know that the show was going on, but just to give you a heads up as to what you can expect here tonight on PWP Radio, we are going to go ahead and announce the official categories for the first ever PWP Year-End Awards. That's coming up. We'll tell you how to vote and all the different categories. We will also go over Raw from last night. A very good Raw, I thought. Do not drag on like some of the other three-hour shows have done. We'll talk a bit about TLC. And when John comes on with us a little bit later, we have a little bit of news regarding TLC. Sam, I don't know if you heard about the injury news about CM Punk.
Well, yeah, no, I heard that he had a minor knee surgery.
Yeah, he had some knee surgery, some emergency knee surgery. I don't want to give too much away right now, but that does have an effect on the TLC pay-per-view, which Sam and I will be attending less than 2 weeks. And, you know, I got to go home with one of those pay-per-view ringside chairs as usual. For those of you who have not seen my collection, you can check it out at gutwrenchpowerblog.com. But let's go ahead and announce the official categories for the first ever PWP year-end awards. We will have Wrestler of the Year, male and female, Tag Team of the Year, male and female, Match of the Year, Feud of the Year, Pay-Per-View of the Year, TV Show of the Year, Promotion of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Commentator of the Year, Most Memorable Moment of the Year, Surprise Superstar of the Year, and finally, Champion of the Year. Those of you who want to vote, you can do so by emailing, tweeting, or putting your vote on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Facebook page. Now, Sam, I'm going to go ahead and ask you a question regarding these awards. Which category that I just named off, and if you want me to repeat them, I'm happy to do so. Which one do you think is the hardest to pick a candidate, pick up, and vote for? Which category?
Probably the match of the year. If I can recall all the ones you mentioned. Just because this year there were a lot of really good matches. I mean, I have one that, I mean, I know which one I would pick, but I don't know. I think there are a lot of good candidates out there.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So. We had some great WrestleMania matches this year, but then again,
sure.
You know, we CM Punk, Daniel Bryan had some great matches. We saw some matches in TNA that some people might vote for, probably not, though. And so we'll have to see. We'll have to see. But be sure to log in, email, tweet, or post on the Facebook page your votes for the official first ever PWP Year-End Awards. And those winners will be announced on the first episode ever of PWP TV. I don't have any details on PWP TV right now, but I'm sure Jay will tune you all into that. Tomorrow night on Oh, You Didn't Know, Jay and I did a little switcheroo there. He will be hosting Oh, You Didn't Know tomorrow night as I host PWP Radio here tonight.
Perhaps it's perhaps you would call it a switcherooski?
A switcherooski if I was Zack Ryder, maybe. Anyway, let's move on here. And why don't we talk about last night's episode of Monday Night Raw? Sam, were you able to catch it yet? I know sometimes you watch it on DVR.
Yeah, no, actually I did. I did actually watch it, this evening, earlier this evening.
Oh, that's great. That's really helpful for this broadcast, actually.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and talk about it. You know, one of the things that I wrote about on Bleacher Report, I've been giving a weekly dose of questions left unanswered after Raw on Bleacher Report the past couple of Mondays. Next Monday there won't be one due to Sam and I attending next week's Raw in New Jersey. But what I've been noticing is lately Raw has been starting out with a match. We're used to seeing Raw starting out with a promo or some sort of segment. But recently we've been starting with a match, and the match that started last night's episode was Team Hell No versus the Primetime Players. We witnessed The Shield watching over the match and taking turns going around different areas of the arena or ringside area, and eventually attacking Team Hell No. Sam, what did you think of this match and The Shield's involvement?
If you recall in the beginning, right before they started the match, Daniel Bryan kind of tapped Kane to get his attention and like pointed up to the stands. I actually thought before I noticed Shield was standing there, I actually thought he was pointing at the people because there was a bunch of people in that area holding up yes signs. I thought maybe he was like pointing at that to kind of like show that like the crowd was like really behind them, but it turned out he was pointing at the Shield. I don't know. I thought that might have been like, you know, kind of like progressing the fact that, you know, the Shield's attack on them last week is what kind of like they needed for them to bring them together. And I really like that. I really hope that, you know, I know there's always talk about breaking them up to give them singles runs, but I really hope that like they keep it together for a little, you know, at least a little while longer. You know, maybe through the Royal Rumble or so, just to, cause I kind of want to see how it goes with the two of them actually like backing each other and like, you know, like kind of getting along. I think that could, you know, I think it was entertaining with the fact with them, like, you know, not getting along. I think it could be equally, if not more entertaining with them actually getting along and like complimenting each other and, you know, like being, you know, like both of them being really nice to each other. I think that could be very entertaining and just like further get them both over. But as far as it being a match to start off, I think it's a great idea. I think it kind of gets the crowd, I'm sure there's probably a dark match, but you know, the dark matches usually, you know, include like, you know, a developmental guy or a local worker or something like that. And I think having like, you know, like main roster talent in the opening match and having it be an actual like real, you know, like match with, you know, a substantial amount of time given into it, I think it's a really good way to get the crowd going. And then follow it up with like a promo spot, which, you know, it just gets the crowd, you know, more involved and, you know, wakes them up a little bit. So I think it's a good idea, and I hope they keep doing it that way.
Very interesting feedback there, Sam. I also, when Daniel Bryan was pointing up, I also thought he was pointing something in the crowd, whether it be the yes signs or something else. I definitely thought that. I think it's interesting that I actually think that the Team Hell No has lost a little steam recently. I think that with the lack of segments and different anger management classes and different things like that they were doing for a while, haven't been doing that recently. Maybe they've lost a little bit of steam. But like you said, I do hope that it lasts a little bit longer. I think it really depends on Daniel Bryan. I think Daniel Bryan is a guy who will be a world champion in the year 2013. And as we approach 2013 in less than 1 month. You know, it really depends on when WWE decides to give him the main event again. Maybe he'll win the Royal Rumble. He is one of my five picks to win the Rumble, possibilities to win the Rumble. So I think it depends on that. In terms of the show starting with a match or as a promo, personally, I don't like it. I do think it's different, and I actually wouldn't mind it if they switched it up week from week, didn't always start it with a match or didn't always start it with a promo. But when you're left with a cliffhanger, we don't know what's going on with the Shield. I would have preferred a promo either from the Shield or CM Punk talking about his championship reign, or Ryback or even John Cena. I think it just sets up the show kind of nicely. That's my take on it. Anyone who's interested in calling in and giving their take on last night's Raw, you can call in at 760-888-5749. All right, moving on, we saw AJ Lee defeat Tamina Snuka. And I know that you, Sam, but I was kind of thinking that this match would happen at TLC, not on Raw. I was very surprised, sort of like how last week we saw John Cena versus Dolph Ziggler for free. You know, they were building up both of these feuds, Dolph Ziggler and John Cena and AJ and Tamina, for a while, and to just give it to us for free, I thought was a little lame. Now, some people argued with me over on Bleacher Report that it's good to have them on Raw because then you have high-quality matches on Raw and not just on the pay-per-views. So, Sam, do you think that it takes away from the feud happening at a pay-per-view, or do you think it adds to it?
Honestly, it really depends on the you know, who's in the match. I think for the Divas match, honestly, I think it does take away from it because, I mean, that's not really a match that, you know, people really, you know, are too, you know, too invested in. So for them to see it once, you know, on Raw, honestly, for them to do it again doesn't really make any sense. And the only reason I see them having the match on Raw is because I think they have, you know, other plans for AJ. I think having Tamina, you know, having her attack AJ at the pay-per-view, I think that was just an excuse for them to get her back on TV in a heel role. I think they want her to kind of take over, you know, Beth Phoenix's role as like the, you know, the big, strong, you know, more dominant diva. I think that, once they got her in, you know, because if you recall, before she went out with injury, she was face. So this was just a way for them to get her back in the picture as a heel. And then, honestly, the outcome of that match was so obvious. I mean, you can't have AJ lose clean because, like, she's too over right now. But you can't make, you know, you can't make it believable that AJ is going to dominate this bigger, stronger woman. So that outcome was obvious. But I think, you know, as far as that match goes, you can't really, you know, to see it again really wouldn't make any sense. I mean, to me, it's over at this point. As far as Cena and Ziggler, that's different, you know. What do you think about that as far as the Divas go?
I think you make a really good point, Sam, in that it does depend on who's involved. I think that, you know, the Divas obviously don't get a lot of time on TV. I think after Triple H did a great job of building up the tag team division, I think that his next goal will be the Divas division. And I think you made another great point in comparing Tamina to being a new Beth Phoenix. I think that is a role that she seems to be very good at, and I'm excited to see where that goes with her. Right now we do have a heel as our Divas champion, one who someone pointed out on Twitter hasn't even been on Raw the last few weeks, and Eve Torres. So obviously Tamina's not going to get pushed too much right now while we still have a heel Divas champion. But you make some excellent points there. In terms of John Cena and Dolph Ziggler, obviously it was a little bit better idea to maybe save their match. But then again, we are going to see their match at TLC with a stipulation. So at least they're changing the match in some way, not just giving us the same exact match again that we saw on Raw. And personally, I think that Dolph Ziggler has to win this match. I think Dolph Ziggler has to win at TLC and keep his briefcase. And I think that they are trying to end this feud between him and Ziggler and AJ and Tamina and Vicky Guerrero. I think they're ending this so that Dolph can cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase. Would you agree?
I think so. I think, if he doesn't win and Cena, that would just make no sense. And if they had Cena win or if they had him lose the briefcase somehow, that would just show a total lack of faith, because obviously Ziggler's on the up and up. You know, he's got a match with Cena. He's got a prominent storyline. So it's obvious that they, they're putting some gas, gas in tank right now for him. But, to have him lose would just show a total lack of faith. And, I mean, I think it's time for him to, he talks a big game, I think it's time. I think it's almost put up or shut up time for Ziggler. It's time for them to give him the ball and see if he can actually run with it, like he constantly, whether it be on promos, on Twitter, in interviews, like he constantly says he's ready for it. And I think it's time to give it to him and see if he actually is, or if it's BS.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen very soon. A couple reasons. I did read that. That they do want to give the belt to Ziggler soon. I think that they also said that they're willing to even use the Money in the Bank briefcase on the WWE Championship. I think officials in WWE are not going to, they would consider doing that, even though it is a SmackDown briefcase, just because it's a World Heavyweight Championship briefcase. They do feel that they can get away with that. Also with CM Punk's injury, I don't think he's going to be out that long. I think that they're not going to take the belt away from him. I think that they are going to let him rest until probably Royal Rumble and face the Rock. So, I think it is Ziggler's time. All right, moving on. We saw a tag team match between John Cena and Sheamus, a.k.a. the superheroes, as I like to call them, Super Cena and Super Sheamus, against Big Show and Dolph Ziggler. And surprise, surprise, the superheroes won. And surprise, surprise, they did great finishers at the same time at the end of the match. What do you think of this match, Sam?
It's a logical pairing. It made sense, based on where the storylines are going, to put them in a match, it's the logical, two prominent storylines, let's put the heels in a tag team and the faces in a tag team and have them go against each other. Nothing special, just, an obvious, the heels win, let's get the crowd, pumped up. I gotta hand it to Sheamus, though. I mean, it's obvious that Big Show is helping him, get the the white noise going. But even with the Big Show helping him, that is still incredibly difficult to lift a 400-plus human being on your back and drop him. I mean, it doesn't matter how much he was helping me. There's no way in hell I could do it. So I really gotta hand it to those guys to be able to do that.
Absolutely. You make some very good points. Not much else to say about that. Also, not much to say about the Damian Sandow Santino Marella match. But I do want to briefly talk about what happened prior to the match, and that was Damian Sandow's continuous search for an apprentice. And I'm going to ask you your opinion on that, Sam, in just a minute. But I will say that, you know, this was the first time I saw it. I don't always watch SmackDown, and I know he's been doing this on SmackDown. But the person from the crowd seemed like it was a plant, honestly. The guy was just following along and didn't really show. I just feel like if I were went up there, I would have been a lot more pissed at Damian Sandow, might have tried to do something here. But what I will also say about Santino Marella is that I actually liked his interaction with Damian Sandow prior to their match. Santino Marella can come off as annoying and a waste of a character, and in some ways he is. But when you pair him up with a guy like Damian Sandow, who is pure gold and another future world champion, in my view, you know, you're going to have a great situation. So we don't need to talk about the match because it was a squash match for Damian Sandow. But what do you think about the search for an apprentice and the interaction with Santino prior to the match, Sam?
As far as the apprentice went, I can't see it not being a plant, especially with Raw being live. They can't, you know, I mean, I don't think they could risk having, like, you know, someone who hasn't been prepped to go out there with a live mic. I think maybe they could get away with it on SmackDown because they could always edit it, but on when it's live Raw, they have to put a plant out there. But I agree with you. The guy was definitely, you know, definitely not a good actor, and he could have put a little bit more enthusiasm into it. I'm a little disappointed in how they've been using Damian Sandow. I think the apprentice thing is kind of goofy, and I mean, I think I've talked to you about this before. I think they have the perfect opportunity to, you know, with Cody Rhodes being out with an injury, this is the perfect opportunity they have to push him to, like, upper mid-card status right now. And the fact that they're doing this whole, I mean, that could be a discussion for another day, but the fact that they're doing this whole apprentice thing, it's kind of goofy. It's kind of, like, pointless. I mean, he does great promos, you know. I mean, you know, he's funny. You know, he gets the crowd hating him, which is what he's supposed to do. And, you know, but I think there's just so much more they could do with him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that they're pushing him quite a bit with Cody Rhodes out. And like you said, maybe they could do a little bit better with him. We actually have a call coming in. I'm going to go ahead and take it. You're on with PWP Radio, area code 732.
Yes, TLD, you got to play the theme music. Don't you know my phone number by now?
Well, I'm this isn't Jay, this is Seth. So
yes, I know that's Seth. How you doing?
Would you like your theme song right now?
No, it's okay. You know, it's my last night of volleyball. You know, I'm sweating like crazy, but I'm here for PWP Radio, and keep going with the discussion. What are you guys talking about?
Well, we are in the midst of talking through last night's Raw and talking about Damian Sandow, and with Cody Rhodes out with injury. They seem to be pushing Damian Sandow a little bit, though. He was given a squash match with Santino last night, but they are doing this whole search for an apprentice. So what's your take on Damian Sandow?
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was great to show that heel side of picking people out of the crowd. It was funny how he gave him the two easy questions, and we all knew the third one was going to be hard. And just the way, you know, just some of the things he was saying, like waiting for him to get into the ring, and it was hilarious. I thought he was great. And you knew Sandow was going to beat Santino. That was obvious coming through. You know, while Cody Rhodes is out, you know, it's good to have Sandow do this. I think Sandow does great on the microphone. He's a great wrestler. People are going to naturally hate him. So I think it's a good fit that he's looking for this apprentice. I wonder if there even is, like, an end game to this, though. Like, he's really going to pick somebody. So I don't know if he's going to pick somebody or not at the end
of the day. I mean, I hope that it does have an end to it. I think that it would be another one of those storylines gone bad, a storyline that didn't go anywhere and didn't finish. So I hope so. Maybe it'll just turn out to be Cody Rhodes. Who knows? But moving on, we saw a match between Alberto Del Rio and Sin Cara. Now, this was a great actual physical match. Two guys who came over from Mexico actually gave them a decent amount of time, I thought. Nothing really riding on this match, nothing in line for these guys. Sin Cara is still teaming up with Rey Mysterio, though he was nowhere to be seen. And Alberto Del Rio is sort of stagnant, sort of not going anywhere himself with matches against guys like Sin Cara and the Great Khali. Sam, what do you think of the Del Rio Sin Cara match?
It was another. You know, they're both great wrestlers. I mean, you know, there's no denying that. It's just that, I mean, I guess this was just, you know, their objective with this match was just kind of get the crowd, you know, into the wrestling portion of the show. You know, I mean, there was no point to it. I mean, we've seen this match on TV, whether it be on Raw or SmackDown. I can't even count how many times. It was a good wrestling match. You know, that's about it.
Absolutely. TLD, what do you think?
Yeah, I love the match. I thought it was very entertaining. Some physical good moments in the contest. We have seen these guys fight before. It's always Alberto Del Rio in the end that always wins. So, to me, I think Sin Cara should have at least won this match. I think for just reasons that he deserves a victory over Alberto. It's always Alberto winning. You know, Alberto's got nothing going on right now. So, to me, Sin Cara having the win wouldn't have hurt Del Rio at all because I don't think it makes a difference. You know, we've seen Sin Cara as a tag wrestler. And tag wrestlers, when they're in singles matches, always lose. So it would be nice to see kind of a change of pace where Sin Cara would beat him. And maybe they could have something at, you know, TLC. Because right now they got nothing for Alberto Del Rio. We have to wait until SmackDown maybe to find out something. But right now he's got nothing going on.
Absolutely. I mean, the only thing really at least interesting going on with Del Rio is the whole scenario with Rosa Mendez. And I'd like to see them get together, though I don't think we saw Rosa at all last night on Raw.
Nope, didn't see her at all. So no storyline was.
Yeah, she was on the the WWE mobile app. They had like a little like 1 minute sketch with where Matt Stryker asked Rosa about her relationship, and then Primo and Epico came in and started arguing with her, like where had she been, blah blah blah. So they, you know, it was a little goofy little thing like that.
Yeah, well, Del Rio, like TLD said, they got nothing going on with him, nothing that interesting, yet it's sort of like Randy Orton. I mean, what are they doing with these guys? How many times are we going to see Orton versus Del Rio or Orton versus Wade Barrett? And there's no point in it. I don't get it.
Just a great idea would might be is that, you know, Primo and Epico should team with, you know, Alberto Del Rio. They can have their own little faction with a woman in it, and they could
this
go
would be
off
the perfect
with, like,
time for that.
They could use that whole Mexican background to kind of use that, you know, for them. I think that would be a great something for SmackDown to have, you know, but, you know, I don't know why they don't go forward with it.
I know what you mean. I know Sam and I have been talking about this for months, that they need to have Del Rio start a Mexican million-dollar corporation.
This is the perfect time right now.
It is. I really hope that they finally do it, but I don't know. And Ricardo Rodriguez needs to branch out. He needs to leave. And this would be a perfect opportunity to get rid of him, really.
Honestly, and yeah, exactly, because, I mean, you could think about it, you could have, even if they didn't do the faction right now, at least do something with Ricardo, because you could have, like, Alberto is, like, almost replacing Ricardo with Rosa, and Alberto kind of gets set up with it, and, you know, it's like, you know, again, it goes back to the Million Dollar Man Virgil thing, you know, he turns on him, becomes this, like, you know, he shows everybody how great he is in the ring, and he is, you know, and there you go. I mean, they got to do something here. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. All right. Any other thoughts on Del Rio, TLD?
I think, there's not really much more to talk about with Del Rio. I mean, the match was great.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a very competitive match, but right now it's not really in the spotlight.
Absolutely. Sam, anything?
Yeah. One thing I just wanted to point out to you guys, and just, I want to know if you guys have noticed this too. Del Rio's got to have some kind of a record as far as, you know, for a guy who wins so many matches on Raw and SmackDown, but loses so many matches on pay-per-view. Like, I can't recall, like, a guy ever being in, you know, in a storyline. He wins just about every match on Raw and SmackDown, but loses every match on pay-per-view. I don't know. I just thought that – that just stuck out in my mind.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. All right. Well, the next thing we saw on Raw was a rare appearance. Not that rare, but somewhat rare, medium rare, if you will. A medium rare appearance from Mr. McMahon as he met with Vicky Guerrero in the ring. And as I was watching this, I think Twitter blew up with tweets and hashtags of fire Vicky. But unfortunately, that did not happen. And it was just another case of Vince forcing Vicky to announce and make certain stipulations to matches for TLC and even for next week on Raw. TLD, do you think anyone didn't want Vicky to be fired here?
Honestly, it was a waste of a segment. I was not happy with that segment at all because I didn't think she was going to get fired. But, I mean, I thought it was too soon because they would have hyped that up more than they did. So I don't feel like she was going to get fired. But the outcome just was weird because Vince McMahon did not really do anything. He did kind of force Vicky to make decisions that obviously she wouldn't have usually made. But that could have been done in a backstage segment. That didn't need to be in the ring. Nothing really happened in the ring. You know, so that could have been backstage, and Vince McMahon could have, you know, she could have said no, and then Vince McMahon said, I would fire you if you don't pick it. Like, that would make it a little more interesting. But or have John Cena come out with – Dolph Ziggler could have came out and intervened in that. At least that would have made sense to me because obviously, you know, Ziggler loses all his chances with the Money in the Bank briefcase being on the line, which is a first, by the way, too, which is kind of neat that they're doing it in a ladder match. But there was not much interaction. I thought it was a waste. Honestly, it's a backstage segment.
Absolutely. Sam, what'd you think?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, the only logical reason that Vince was out there was because Vicky never would have made a match with anything detrimental to Ziggler. So that was the only really way they could do it. Like right now, Vince is the only person, you know, on TV who can rule over Vicky. So yeah, but I mean, you're right that, you know, it could have been done. Could have been done elsewhere. That really, it was kind of weird how they did it, like with Vince, like kind of like.
Well, what I thought was weird, Sam, what I thought was weird was that why couldn't Vince McMahon just make these announcements himself?
Right.
They still refer to him as the chairman of the board, which gives him some power. So he could have just made these decisions himself.
And that probably would have been more entertaining itself. Or, like, Vicky trying to be like, wait, you can't do that, and then be like, you know, like, telling her, like, shut up or something, you know, and then just doing it himself, you know what I'm saying? We all know that, I mean, we still don't even know what the managing supervisor is, you know, and why it's not just the general manager.
Vicky is allowed to be the managing supervisor when she manages Dolph Ziggler.
Right, it's bizarre.
Well, he hasn't technically been managed by her since she's had the role, so I would say they cover that part of the tracks, you know. So I don't think he's been. I think it's been okay. It's not like it's been bad. They even made some references that Vicky was the general manager. I actually caught that by some of the commentary last night. They referenced
really?
Her as a general manager. Yeah, if you look back on it, there was one part where I heard that I was like, ooh, not good. You know, because I heard it. So you got to be careful with that.
Yeah, I mean, there was another backstage segment, I guess it was later on in the show, where I could have sworn, and some people said they didn't hear this. Tell me if you guys heard this. Did Vicky say to a referee that someone wasn't supposed to know that she was involved with the Shield?
I don't recall that.
I think I vaguely remember something like that, but not enough for it to, you know, like strike a chord or anything.
Yeah, it happened very quickly, and not everyone caught it, and no one spoke of it afterwards. Not even on Twitter, I didn't see anything. But if you rewind it, if you watch it again, I'm curious to see if anyone else catches it. But anyway, moving on, we saw another segment or another return of Brad Maddox. I don't know about you guys. I was reading and thinking that he wasn't going to be on until 2013 at some point, but we got a surprise scene with him, and Vicky agreed to give him another match. We didn't know who his opponent was beforehand. A lot of people thought maybe Great Khali or who else? Maybe Ryback was a popular choice, that maybe he would just get another match against Ryback. It ended up being Randy Orton. This just seemed to be a match that was sort of unnecessary, but maybe gave us a hint that maybe Brad Maddox is involved with the Shield. TLD, did you expect Randy Orton, and do you think that this was just to show us that Brad Maddox might be involved with the Shield?
So they're obviously they hinted that at the end. It didn't matter who it was to me. I knew he wasn't winning, you know. So it really did not matter. I have never seen his Brad Maddox experience. I'm very curious. I'm going to go to W.com and look at it. I am curious of what he's doing. It's definitely interesting how the cameraman now has a character too. Now, because now he got a name last night. So that's obviously going to continue forward. And I always go back to that moment where Brad Maddox was pulled away by Paul Heyman, and we never saw an outcome of that. So I'm still waiting to see what that was about. I do remember that a couple of weeks ago before his match at Ryback. So, you know, I do like Brad Maddox. I think the idea of the character of very cocky, but obviously he has no, you know, you can't compare to some of these people in the ring. What I do hate about this, and this doesn't make sense, that Vicky Guerrero acts like a face and a heel, even though she's always a heel. She always does, like, these face things where she gave Brad Maddox Randy Orton. You know, it's not a heel thing. So I think sometimes when Vicky does her decisions, you know, it doesn't make any sense sometimes. Because then people cheer her when she gives, like, a weird stipulation about CM Punk, but then people boo her, like, about John Cena, you know? It's really weird. I don't know if you noticed that, but I always notice it now.
I haven't really noticed it, but obviously now that you point it out, I do. It's very strange.
That's
Sam,
weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Sam, who were you expecting? Did you think Brad Maddox was going to win? And what was the point of this?
No, there was no chance he was winning, especially with the way Vicky was acting towards him. And, John, that's a good point with, you know, how Vicky, with, you know, since Brad Maddox is playing a heel, Vicky, you know, fed him to one of the top faces in, like, in a squash match. And meanwhile, like, she should be, you know, like, trying to, like, help him get a contract, you know, like, that, you're absolutely right. I didn't even think of that. That doesn't make any sense. But I like Brad Maddox. I think he's pretty decent on the mic, and he's got charisma, and you know he's got a decent look, and you know eventually he'll get his contract or whatever. But I don't know. I think maybe the reason that they had him in a match was because they knew they would be referring to him a lot, especially in the last segment. With the lie detector, you know, is Brad Maddox working for you? Is the Shield working for you? I think since they were referring to him a lot in the show, I think they wanted to, like,
maybe keep him fresh in people's minds by putting him in a match that would do so. I think that's what they were going for.
I can see that, Sam. Go ahead.
Right now, Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar's in, because Paul Heyman's on TV, so you always go back to Brock Lesnar when it comes to Paul Heyman, too.
Right.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I am a huge fan of Brad Maddox. I think, like Sam said, he's showing a lot of charisma, and he's got a good look, and I think that Triple H is a big fan of him, and I think that he has a lot of fans backstage. So I think he is going to be a part of the future here in WWE, and I think that whether or not he's involved with the Shield, though it's a very popular notion that he is, I think that we're definitely going to see a lot more of him come 2013, and it remains to be seen how they use him. But I did want to go to a great match that we saw on Raw last night, a Fatal 4-Way match. Now, there are a lot of things going on with this Fatal 4-Way match. It was originally supposed to be Wade Barrett and Antonio Cesaro teaming up against former tag team partners and champions R-Truth and Kofi Kingston. Teddy Long comes out, and you're thinking to yourself, what's going on? We already have a tag team match. Why is Teddy Long out here? But he turned it into a Fatal 4-Way match. It was a very strange thing going on here, but probably, in my opinion, the match of the night between these four guys, four young guys, though R-Truth is not as young, I believe. But Barrett and Cesaro are two young heels that are definitely a big part of the future in WWE. And we had a Raw Active poll naming the Intercontinental title or the U.S. title on the line. They cut to commercial to give people, you know, 3 minutes to vote. And then we learned that the U.S. title was going to be on the line, and Antonio Cesaro did win. Now, what I want to know from you guys, and we'll start with Sam, is the Raw Active poll, is it rigged? Is it just they were going to have the U.S. title on the line no matter what and have Cesaro win, or do you think that it was for real?
I think it's probably more rigged than anything else, simply due to the fact that since the way the votes are given, like with the tweet hashtags, you know, I don't know how they quantify those. I mean maybe they have some way of quantifying it, but I don't know if there's an accurate way to quantify, you know, what is, you know, who gets what. I think they kind of know which way they want to go, and they kind of pick a percentage of, you know, what seems logical. I mean, it was obviously logical that they want the heel to defend his title because there's a potential for the heel to lose it.
There is some website or some system that they can see the votes, because as we remember with Daniel Bryan and Kane, there was a mix-up there. TLD, what do you think about the Fatal 4-Way and the Raw Active poll?
I think this one was legit. There are times where I think that it is. Like as a perfect example, when they picked Team Hell No, that to me, I thought that was rigged. I think Team Friendship was the only option that people would do, because it was the only one that was ever mentioned on television. This one, I would say, was probably legit. Reason being is they obviously, all the people online are going to vote for the heel. You know, they want the heel to put the belt on the line. That's just, you know, what almost every, you know, that's what any fan would do. If you're a fan of Kofi and the good guy, you're always going to want to put the bad guy's title on the line. You know, it'd be weird if people voted all Kofi put his Intercontinental title. It wouldn't make sense. So I think it makes more sense when the heel has to put his belt up. And the best part about that is no one gets hurt in that, because, you know, all three of them tried to win. You know, all three of them looked very strong in the match, and Antonio Cesaro came out with the victory, and he beat the Intercontinental Champion on top of it. So that made him look, you know, really good. It made the U.S. title look bigger than the Intercontinental title last night.
Absolutely, and I don't know how many of you noticed the botchamania going on at commentary with Michael Cole, but at one point he did say Kofi Kingston is closing in on the Intercontinental title.
Yep, I caught that too. Yep, I do remember that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Joining us now.
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm a nice man.
I didn't get a theme song.
John JCD is with us. Welcome to PWP Radio. John, are you there?
Yes. You know, you give me the music. You don't have much time.
I'm here, guys. Sorry I'm late.
All right, John, welcome to the show. You caught us
some
time. We got a little over 10 minutes left.
Yep.
We're going to go ahead and move. There are a couple points that I want to get to before the end of the show, and John was a big part of that. End of Raw saw the lie detector test on Miz TV with WWE Champion CM Punk. I thought this was a great segment. The tension between Miz and Punk is phenomenal. I really hope we see a feud between them in 2013 at some point. And then, obviously, we knew somehow the Shield would get involved and ruin it. And Ryback on Vault 2. John JCD, what did you think of the end segment of Raw last night?
I thought it was stupid initially when they announced it during the back and forth, but seeing the way it played out and seeing the just the back and forth between Miz and Punk and knowing that there was some realness behind it, you know, that was great. Like you said, the Shield run-in was predictable but well done. Like the fact that Hell No got involved and, you know, Ryback got some of his heat back for the last 2 weeks. So, you know what? What I thought was going to be a bad way to end it turned out to be a great way to end that show. I loved it.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we saw Ryback at all on the show until this point. Am I correct, guys?
Yep. No, yeah, you're right. And Lola even said that no one has seen or heard from him since the end of Raw last week.
Yeah, so that was very interesting. TLD, what'd you think?
Yeah, I loved the ending segment. I thought, while CM Punk, and this is good too, CM Punk, while he was getting his thing set up, he was just talking on the microphone while he was doing that. I thought that was great because a lot of times when we see these tests, they're kind of just sitting there waiting to put it on. And CM Punk is talking as he's doing it, which I think is really great. I thought that was a great segment. I thought Ryback looked really good at the end of that. He looked really awesome on the end of that, actually. So I was very happy with the way that ended. I think that, you know, giving the Shield, you know, getting the tag team champions involved was great. They've been waiting the whole show to get back at them, you know, so they've been waiting for that. And to have Ryback saved to the very ending of Raw, you know, was really good. You know, it saves him, and he looked strong. He used every weapon that's going to be used in that TLC match. He looked great. I thought the ending of that was really strong. I can't imagine a better ending, and it still leaves that mystery there.
Absolutely. Sam?
I don't know. Did you guys notice how when Punk kept, like, saying stuff while he was getting hooked up, like, the Miz looked like he was, like, legitimately getting pissed. Like Punk wouldn't, you know, like kept kind of interrupting him and there was one point where like, if you guys remember, like when he was getting hooked up to the machine, he goes, he said like something like, does the Miz suck? Does the Miz suck? Am I lying now or something? And then the Miz goes, no, but your mom does. You know, it's like, I don't think that was scripted. Like, I think he like legitimately got pissed. And, like, just, like, blurted that out because, like, he was getting frustrated.
Absolutely. I mean, I thought CM Punk was phenomenal in that. Obviously, if you saw his watched his DVD, he talked about his hatred towards The Miz, or as some people correct
me. I don't
think
he had hatred towards The Miz. I think he was mad
or,
that he was
how The Miz
when
was
he wasn't. I think it was more about his push
right.
than he was mad about.
Yeah,
right.
How he was loved.
Right.
So I think we, you know, we felt that during the segment, the last segment on Raw. But I felt like The Miz didn't really show off any true feelings, and I wish that it had been found and felt more real from The Miz's end as well. Because
yes.
I thought the mother joke was really lame. I was like, that's really what you're going to come up with.
Exactly, and that's why I kind of think it was, like, off the cuff, and I don't know if that was, like, planned. I think he was just kind of, like, he kind of just, like, blurted it out because, like, I think he was, like, really getting, like, I think he was, like, really taking the promo to heart.
I could definitely see that, too, that he was feeling a little upset about the way that went, you know. But, you know, it's a good joke because, you know, he's, you know, it wasn't bad. The crowd reacted to it, so... You know, I don't think it was that bad.
That's true.
But, you know, it's a way to get back at Punk. That's all it is. I don't, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
I thought the whole show, I thought the show didn't drag on at all. I thought the show really was timed very nicely. When you have 3 hours now, it seems like it had been dragging on some episodes. But this one was much
nicely.
Better. It really did, right?
At one point, I looked at my TV, and it was like 9:42, and I was actually surprised that it was already that late, and I couldn't tell you the last time I did that. You know, there were times I would look at my TV, and I was like, damn, it's only 9:42, but last night, I was like, wow, I can't believe we're almost 2 hours in already. So it had a good flow. You know, that's what they need to do. They need to stop recapping that first hour stuff throughout the whole first hour, which I felt like they really didn't do a lot of.
Yeah, they didn't really do recapping this time, did they?
They recapped, I think, the beginning segment with Hell No and the attack on Kane, which they totally ruined because Cole was talking about Kane's arm in between the steps and the pole, and they showed, like, everything after that. But I think that was the only thing they recapped from the first hour, and I thought that was the right way to do it, which they haven't done in a while. And this was one of the better running full 3 hours in a while.
Absolutely. We have about 6.5 minutes left. John and I were talking that there were some spoiler news from SmackDown this week, and we talked about whether or not we should share it, and I think we decided that we will share it. Is that correct, John?
I'm on board with that.
All right, well, there is a report going out from the taping on SmackDown that due to CM Punk's injury, that CM Punk will not be defending his championship at TLC against Ryback. Instead, Ryback will be teaming up with Team Hell No to go against The Shield in a 6-man tag team match. John, what do you have to say?
This is I guess the best way you can go under the circumstances. Obviously, the most important thing out of this is that Punk will not be stripped of the title due to the injury. From what I've been gathering, this is more of a precautionary move because they feel the match with The Rock at the Rumble is more important. What you could do, they always like to do a big first Raw of the year. It wouldn't surprise me if you get the Ryback-Punk TLC match on that first Raw of 2013. And this is going to be a good way for The Shield to get some good in-ring exposure. You can have Punk cost Ryback and Hell No the match, you know, have Kane get rolled up or something. It won't hurt Hell No. It won't hurt Ryback. And it will be a good first win for The Shield, and people are going to get to see what these guys can do. You know, if you've never seen Rollins, Ambrose, you know, everyone's in for a treat. I think this is a good way for them to go under the circumstances, and I think this is probably best case scenario, you know, versus Punk being out for 4 or 5 months and having to really rip up everything and start from scratch.
I mean, I agree. I think that the report is that Punk shouldn't be out for that long, so I think that they are hoping that he will be back in time to face The Rock at the Rumble. And don't know about you, Sam, but I'm very excited to see The Shield debut on WWE, not counting NXT. So that's going to be very exciting. And I kind of liked that in Survivor Series, originally, they weren't going to have Punk defend his title. So this actually gives him some time, because it was obvious that it was going to be Punk versus Rock at the Rumble. So I thought it was a waste for them to have him continue to defend the title when it was obvious that he was just going to retain it until the Rumble. He may still retain it at the Rumble as well. That's still to be determined. But we knew that it was going to be Punk Rock at Rumble. So I think this is a great way to prolong his next title defense and give him some rest. TLD, you want to give any last thoughts on the situation?
Yeah, I think that that makes SmackDown watchable. You know, I mean, I think that's like, you know, if you don't watch SmackDown normally, this is one you're going to want to watch. Because I'm going to want to see what, I mean, obviously, I try not to read the spoilers, but I do sometimes. This is one of, like, that's one of the times where I would have wished I looked at the spoilers or someone told me. But I think that's a great way. It's a great point that you knew Ryback wasn't going to win. This probably actually is from another, you know, missed loss. You know, The Shield could lose this match. Honestly, they could. Because at the end of the day, they could just attack him at the end and get their heat back. And one thing I'm hoping for is that group, The Shield, they have to wear the same attire. Because I hate when they don't. I hate when we have stables and they don't look the same. So I know it's a weird look fact, but I think they better be wearing the same stuff. You know, I agree.
I like their outfits. I like their look.
I do like the look. I think it's a great, look. The logo of what.
Even if you get rid of the shirts and the vest and have them wrestle in like the black pants and the boots, that's fine.
That's fine too. I don't mind them going shirtless, wearing just the pants. I just want them to look the same because I hate when stables don't look the same. So this is a true test for them. This is a. One big, huge dude. You got a Ring of Honor veteran. You got a guy in Kane who has had the most matches in WWE history, which is a great fact to bring out, and that shows how big Kane really is. And I think it makes this TLC actually more watchable.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of which, we have less than 2 minutes. But Sam, how excited are you for TLC now?
No, it'll definitely be interesting. I mean, because. No, it's like you guys said. I mean, it was going to be an obvious outcome if Ryback and Punk, for them to, you know, find another way for Punk to win dirty. It was getting older. It was getting older after the second time. So this will be good. I mean, you know, but I really do think they gotta put the Shield on top, or else it's going to totally blow their momentum. The logical way is for Kane to get pinned, because he's really the only one who can get pinned and not really lose any of his push.
Maybe Daniel Bryan, but I think it's obvious that Ryback will not be the one pinned. We have
about
a minute left. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Thank you all for listening.
Can I put something out there real quick?
Yeah,
no, we don't have time.
What would close TLC now?
I think this match, the six-man tag match, has to close it out. But we'll see. We have 30 seconds left. Thank you all for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SETHGUTT. Jay will be on tomorrow for Oh You Didn't Know, along with John JCD, the Ass Man. So be sure
to
check it out. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, GutWrenchPowerBlog.com, and thank you all for listening.
Later.